New science.
Weird science.
Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
Maybe they're sisters. Maybe they're friends.
Honey, they're doctors.
We're going to focus on the science and the facts, pediatrics,
and psychiatry,
and research,
and the law,
and reproductive health care. Today we're going to talk about bird flu. We're going to talk about what is bird flu, why people are talking about bird flu, and why are we talking about it now. We're going to talk about ways to keep yourself safe and ways to stay up to date and knowledgeable about this ongoing kind of looming pandemic threat.
And we'll be bringing to you science-related parenting advice, talking about the headlines, what's happening, and then how to keep you and your family safe.
We're trying to translate all of the information that you see in the news that might be really difficult to understand, a lot of conflicting messages, and trying to kind of cut that down and make it more interpretable and more applicable to your daily life.
And we've taken a few weeks off with the holidays. We had an unexpected medical emergency in our family followed by the holidays. So we decided to take a couple weeks just to regroup, spend time together, and now we're back.
And it's the perfect time to be back because there's going to be a lot of changes in healthcare and health administration in the next few weeks.
Why? What's happening, Alicia?
You know, change.
Change. Change is coming. Like it or not, change is coming. And something else that seems to be coming is bird flu.
Bird flu.
I just keep seeing headlines about bird flu, Alicia. What is bird flu and why is everyone talking about it now?
It's a current epidemic, maybe coming pandemic.
Is it an epidemic yet with this few cases? Let's see. Is this an epidemic? It's an epidemic in birds and it's a pandemic threat.
A pandemic, I think it has to be on two continents. Like sustained cases in two continents, and an epidemic is sustained cases in an area.
That's right. So currently bird flu is an epidemic among birds. And what that means is that there's been this unexpected increase in cases, but it's still geographically contained. And as you said, it's a pandemic threat. And a pandemic is when a disease's growth is exponential and the growth rate is just skyrocketing. And each day you see more and more cases than the day before. It means that it's covering a wide area and several countries and different populations. So right now it's still contained in birds and to a geographical area, but there's a threat that it could grow.
We've never lived through anything like that before.
I wish that was true. The pandemics have been hitting us hard in this lifetime. And so, Alicia, what is bird flu? Why should people be worried about this?
Bird flu is also known as avian flu, so you can hear it as both. And as most flu types, you'll probably hear a sequence of letters and numbers. And so avian flu, bird flu, is known as H5N1.
We'll hear of a lot of flus. You know, maybe you've heard of H1N1 before. This current strain is called H5N1. And the H refers to a group of proteins called hemagglutins. There are 16 types of hemagglutins, so this could be H1 to H16. And then the N refers to a different group of proteins called neuraminidases. I really can't say that. Neuraminidases, or N proteins, and there are 9 of those, so those are N1 to N9. So there's lots of different variants of flus possible, and the current strain that is going around birds, this avian influenza, is H1N5.
H5N1.
It's so easy to get it wrong. It is H5N1. But the point is, it's a big deal. And why is it a big deal?
It's a potentially very serious infection that's caused by flu A. And it's been spreading between birds. It can spread between cattle. And now it's starting to affect humans.
That's right. And although these avian flus have been around for hundreds of years, usually spreading among birds, the concern is when it starts to cross into other species. Since 2022, there has been a big outbreak of avian flu going around birds. It's affected hundreds of millions of birds in the United States. And if you noticed egg prices going up at the grocery store, this is part of the reason, because so many birds have been affected. And when a bird is affected by avian flu, there are certain protective measures that come, including at times killing all of them. What do they call it? They call it something like culling the population. Which essentially means that a number of birds die. And that has led to a reduction in the supply of eggs and an increase in prices.
The outbreak is so extensive that every single state in the United States currently has an outbreak in their poultry. It is widespread. It is happening everywhere. All 50 states are affected.
And since March, we've seen an increase in rates of avian flu among cattle, and it started to affect dairy workers.
So about 16 states in the U.S. currently have outbreaks, or we should say less than 20, about half, unclear of how this is changing, but, you know, about half of the states are currently affected, a little less than half.
And although there's been less than 100 cases in humans in the United States, the concern about avian flu is twofold. One, the mortality of avian flu is high. It's estimated that over the past decades, about 50% of people who have avian flu have died. And then the second is that once avian flu is in humans, it's able to affect humans, it's really only going to take a small mutation until it can spread human to human.
I think that's the biggest concern. Public health officials have worried about avian flu in the past, particularly at the time of H1N1. This idea that, like, you're just one mutation away from something being highly transmissible.
And at this point, so few cases have been in the United States, less than 100, that it's hard to exactly know its mortality rate, but there is a hope that it might be a little bit less fatal than other types of avian flu that we've seen. But TBD, we don't know yet, and hopefully we'll never know, because it's not going to jump to that human-to-human transmission.
We unfortunately have a lot of experience with COVID, and if you think back to your experiences in 2020, 2022, up to now, you can see that there were various mutations in COVID. Some were more contagious than others, some were more fatal than others. And so these are the things that we're worrying about with bird flu.
And an example that you might remember of when a virus makes a small mutation and then everyone gets sick again, that Delta variation of COVID. I think everyone's got a story about that Delta variation.
And you also saw with some of these changes that the vaccine was more effective for some kind of strains than others.
Exactly.
Same thing with the treatments that we were using, like remdesivir and other things, were more effective with certain strains than for others.
And so while we're seeing most of the cases now in California, which is our largest dairy producer, we're seeing a lot of cases in Washington. We're also seeing cases in some Midwestern states. Overall, the number of cases are low, but the public health alert is high because of this pandemic threat. With that, Alicia, what are some things that people can do to prepare themselves and keep themselves safe in case this does become a bigger problem?
So the CDC has a nice list that you can look up online of ways to keep yourself safe.
The CDC stands for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
And some of the kind of salient points is the first is to avoid direct contact with wild and dead birds. This seems silly, but if you have like an outdoor cat, they often like to go hunting. And so being really cautious if you have dead birds that they bring back to you.
That makes sense. So avoiding contact with dead birds, with sick birds. I'm guessing also avoiding contact with livestock, given how rampant this is among cattle right now.
If you can, if this is not part of your job, absolutely. Trying to, you know, maybe not the time to go to the petting zoo. Maybe not the time to bring your kids to the farm.
That makes sense. We actually live close to a petting zoo farm. Close to a petting zoo. But I guess we'll skip that and go see some of the other animals, possibly.
It's, you know, time to stay away from the alpacas, away from the poultry, away from the cows, if you can. And maybe it's time to pet the penguins instead. That's a lie. Penguins are birds.
Penguins are birds.
You know, they can't fly.
You heard that here first. Penguins are birds. So try to avoid contact with any of these potential vectors, any of these potential sources, if you can. And then what if you can't?
If you can't avoid contact with these kind of livestock, live animals, things that you can do to keep yourself safe is PPE.
What is PPE?
I said PPE because I don't actually know what it stands for.
Protective equipment.
I was going to say that. It is personal protective equipment. It's clothing or equipment that protects you from hazards like infection. Things like masks and gloves and goggles.
Oh my gosh, are you telling me to wear masks and gloves and goggles again?
Unfortunately, yes.
So this is a reminder that if you're out of this kind of stuff, because maybe it's been a couple years since you stocked up for COVID, you got a couple days left in your FSA, spend that money, buy yourself the personal protective equipment that you might need, put it in a box, have it in your closet. If you don't need it and this doesn't become a pandemic, that's great news. FSA is the flexible spending account. That's the money that you designate pre-tax during open enrollment, and then you can spend it on products through the rest of the year. But if you don't use the money by December 31st, it is done.
Bye-bye.
We have a whole episode about that. You can find it. It's called FSA, HSAs, and your deductibles, and I'll give you lots of spending tips.
Plus, it's like it's currently RSV and regular flu season, so a mask is always a good idea.
Always a good idea. So try to avoid, so it sounds like things that people can do is try to avoid contact with sick and dead birds, other livestock, things like that. Something else that people can do to help protect themselves from an emerging pandemic threat is to vaccinate themselves against flu.
So every year there's a new annual variant for to help protect populations against different strains of flu, usually flu A, some flu B. While it doesn't protect you against bird flu, it would really, really, really be a bummer to get both bird flu and traditional flu at the same time.
Not only would you feel terrible, there's also the potential that these virus strains can meet inside of your body and then co-mix and make a really bad strain of bird flu that now has the possibility of jumping person to person.
That's how you would become patient zero.
Do not be patient zero.
It never ends well for patient zero.
Patient zero never has a happy story. And for those who don't know, patient zero is what the CDC and other public health officials call the first person to become ill with something new. You are patient zero. And then they track every person you spoke to and every person who got sick from you. So it's just not fun. It's not a fun experience.
In addition to vaccinating yourself, other things that you can do is actually write in your household. What are things that you can do in your home to make sure that you can keep yourself safe?
This is something that I learned from Alicia, but considering that the outbreak right now is really happening among birds, including chickens and cows, really thinking about the eggs and milk that are in your household, as well as other dairy products like cheese and yogurt.
Pasteurization kills viruses. Pasteurization kills bird flu. The heating process
helps protect you.
And this is true for eggs. This is true for milk. So it's really important for eggs in your household that they're all cooked thoroughly, that we're not eating raw eggs. We're not eating raw cookie dough, which is a huge bummer right now. The important thing to know about eggs is that not all eggs that are sold in the market are pasteurized.
Yeah, I think that's the big part to start with. So most eggs that you buy at a store are not pasteurized. More than 95% of what's commercially available in stores for eggs are not pasteurized. You can look for pasteurized eggs, and those will be eggs that have been heated in a special way that didn't cook the egg, but did eliminate any viruses that could be present in there. An option, if you can't find pasteurized eggs, is to just look for an egg product. So if you buy anything where the egg is out of the shell, like a liquid egg or an egg white, or you like eggs in a carton, those will all have been pasteurized, which means you can make your mayonnaises, your raw cookie dough, the things like that, because not only is that targeting avian flu, that's also targeting other things like salmonella, which just would be yucky.
Salmonella is yucky.
So that's how eggs are pasteurized. And then also milk is pasteurized in the same way, where milk is heated up to really high temperatures, and then that removes these contaminants that are present in milk. And they found avian flu in milk, and in California had to recall several batches of raw milk because they were able to detect that there was avian flu in that raw milk. And although it is not yet known if avian flu can be transmitted through milk in this way, in general, there's a concern if you are eating something that is known to have a virus in it.
We're so worried about this right now that the USDA actually started this national milk testing strategy where they're requiring states to send them raw milk samples to test for the presence of avian flu.
The USDA is the United States Department of Agriculture.
We just don't know, and it's always better to err on the side of caution than to say oops later.
That's such a true way of how we approach pandemics as public health officials. You start with the most conservative strategies, assuming the worst about how a virus or a bacteria or an illness is transmitted. And once you learn more about it, if some of those procedures that you put into place are too much, you can just roll them back. But if they weren't enough, it's too late to go back and try to put them in place.
So it's really important to make sure that your kind of dairy products, your egg products are heated and cooked thoroughly, whether that's through a pasteurization process or at home you are boiling, cooking, making sure that you're not eating poached eggs, runny yolks, things like that.
I was just Googling that there's a way to pasteurize eggs at home. So if that's something that you're interested in doing, you can find different processes online. It's not known how effective they are, but they're thought to be better than not trying it. So if that's something that you think would work for your family, you can give it a try. Now, milk made sense to me. I knew about pasteurization of milk. I've always been careful to buy that for my daughter. But something that Alicia brought up to me was really the impact of cheeses, because there's a number of cheeses that may not be pasteurized.
A lot of traditional cheeses, a lot of French cheeses, a lot of old European cheeses are made in this like ancient technique by monks in various places. And through the ancient technique, they use raw milk. And so a lot of cheeses are actually raw milk cheeses.
And so something that Alicia helped me with is that she came here and she went through our cheeses and she looked and she found which ones were pasteurized and unpasteurized. And so then we were able to decide what was and wasn't safe for our family.
It should always be labeled on the cheese as long as you're getting it from a store. If you're getting it from a farm or from like a farmer's market, just make sure to ask. Soft cheeses tend to be less pasteurized than hard cheeses. Foreign cheeses less likely to be pasteurized than cheeses made here in the US. So just making sure that you're reading labels and that you're asking questions.
An informed consumer is a better consumer. And this actually came up over the holidays because we went to a Christmas market. And one of my favorite things at a holiday market is something called a raclette. It's the Swiss hot cheese dish where they take this big wheel of cheese and they heat it up. And then they, as the cheese is melting, they scrape it off onto a bread. But when we were at this market, they didn't know if the cheese had been pasteurized or not. And with the current levels right now of avian flu, that pandemic threat, how young my daughter is, it just didn't feel like a risk that was worth taking for our family. So as much as we love raclette, we skipped this year and we had French fries instead.
Unfortunately, a lot of yummy cheeses that we've had to take out of our diet for the moment. But the good news with cheese is that there's always another alternative. Many yummy cheeses.
There are so many cheeses. All right. So I think those are things that we can start on thinking about exposure to birds, wildlife in your life, making sure to wear N95s and other personal protective equipments when you can. And then getting your flu vaccine just to keep yourself from having both at the same time and from becoming patient zero.
Making sure that you are reading labels, buying the foods that you want, bringing the foods that you want into your house, and preparing food appropriately. Making sure that we're trying to reduce the virus in all our foods.
And thinking about moving forward, it's unknown right now if H5N1, this strain of avian flu, is going to be able to go person to person. Right now, there are very few cases in the United States, like we said, under 100. But it's important to keep updated on the news, and that could be by tracking the CDC website. That could be by listening to us here. We'll bring you other updates if more happens with avian flu. And then keeping informed of any changes that the coming administration may be bringing. There are concerns about raw milk becoming more available under this current administration. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who was appointed by Trump to take over HHS. HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has said that he feels like raw milk is a healthy alternative. And so that's going to be important to watch that, given the risk, not just of what raw milk brings, but also of avian flu specifically.
There's also concern about vaccine policies with the upcoming administration. There are some older vaccines for avian flu that have been approved in the past. It's thought that these vaccines are likely outdated as the strains have mutated in the past 15, 20 years. There are current vaccines that are being in the process of kind of being created. There's concern about whether or not these will be approved, whether or not these will be administered, whether or not these will be kind of distributed in the way that they should be.
And these concerns come from some of the actions of this administration, of this coming administration in the past. For example, under Trump, we got the COVID vaccines, and they were a public health success. We saw reductions in COVID deaths of over 50%, and yet the administration backed away from these vaccines so hard. So despite the fact that they were this success, so it's concerning to think about if this were to grow, there are currently these efforts to try to get vaccines in place. What is the coming administration going to do if a vaccine does become available? How are they going to distribute that to people? And how are they going to support those efforts?
So you can stay updated on the CDC website. You can stay updated on the USDA website. There are lots of places to get real-time news, real-time info about what's going on in your state. Departments of public health of your city, of your state, also will have good updates.
And as things unfold, we hope to be right here with you. And we appreciate you tuning in to us today. We are the Rolling Forward Show.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland. You can find us on social media at Rolling Forward Show, R-O-L-I-N, Forward Show. We're on the TikToks, on the Twitter, on the Blue Sky, on the Instagram. Are we actually on TikTok? We are. I'm getting a head nod. We are on TikTok. And then you can also email us.
At Rolling Forward Show, R-O-L-I-N, Forward Show, at gmail.com.
And if you spell our name wrong, you will not be the first person, nor will you be the last person. So it's R-O-L-I-N, that's us. You can find us wherever you may be looking.
Until next time.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Well, I was going to say we're a group, but we're two people, so we're not really a group.
We're a group of two people. Do you have to be at least three people to be a group? we're gonna skip that. We are two people.
I was gonna say we're a group of psychiatrists and pediatricians, but we are one psychiatrist and one pediatrician.
That's true. So we're definitely not a group of those.